Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
What is the last thing that happened before the crash? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, hey, Miles, I was listening to that yesterday, and I know you probably thought about it, but do you ever just wonder what your voice would sound like now if you just never smoked ever?
You know, I know my voice would have changed over time because most people's voice does. I don't think it would have changed with the severity that it has.
I just can't. It changed to the point. I've been working with a man for over 20 years, and I'm like, who is interviewing?
That's the young, good-looking Miles.
I know you were young.
This is the old, fat, ugly Miles. Yeah, you know. That's what happens when you get older. You get uglier. You get fatter. Your voice sounds like crap. Yeah, I mean, it all goes downhill.
You were honest about it yesterday, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Don't smoke, kids.
So, this is back in the late 80s. I went to Central Washington, and in April, there in Wenatchee is Apple Blossom. So there's this big, huge gathering, and a bunch of kids go. And it's a good time. So me and three buddies go over. And, again, this is the late 80s when I'm doing a lot of coke. So
yeah, sure, that
we go
up.
Over. We have a great evening. You know, it's like lines of cars going up and down the strip and, you know, a good time. Try to find a motel. We can't find a place to crash. So we decide to drive back to school, which is a couple hours. Well, we meet a couple girls. They decide to come back with us. They're from Wenatchee, but they decide to come back. And my buddy gets one of the girls in his car, and she's in the front seat. It's a little MR2. And so we start heading back. The other girl jumps in our car. Well, this is like 6 a.m. We're going over Blewett Pass, and the girl in the backseat's sleeping, and me and my buddy are driving behind my friend. And we decide, yeah, we're going over Blewett. Let's just do this last line. Sun's coming up, you know, good time. And so we just finish up. And as we come down the pass, my buddy, all of a sudden, he fell asleep and started to go down into the ditch.
That is not good.
And then he woke up, and his reaction was to swerve out of the ditch, and it just flipped him. And so he's just doing roll after roll after roll in this MR2, and it's right in front.
Wait a minute, hold on. It's like, did he cross over to the stream side on the left, or did he stay on the right hand side?
No, it was the same on the right side, so he didn't really get out of the ditch.
Okay.
Ken kind of caught the end of it and then just flipped it. Well, as he was rolling, it was still in that ditch. And he ends up upside down. And it's like out of the movie, like everything's in slow motion. We jump out of the car. You can hear the rim spinning still. We you know, the foot, you know, our foot's running up to see if he's okay. And he ended up, they were just fine because when they were doing that roll, it never hit the roof of the car. It just smashed the trunk and the front end, and it never touched the top. And the girl in the passenger seat, she didn't even have a seatbelt on, and he said he threw his arm across and, like, held her with her arm to keep her from flying out of the car.
Yeah, I'd have told you the same thing, and I'd be lying, too.
That Wenatchee side of Blewett is, you got to pay attention.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's where I killed that family of quail.
Is that where it was?
Oh, yeah. Yep, exactly.
Then the quail said the same thing. Hey, pay attention.
What's the last thing that happened before the crash? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Skyler. Welcome to the men's room.
Uh-oh. Hola.
Hola.
All right, so I was in an Uber on the way to a Mariners game, right? I had taken the same Uber home from work, had a quick stop to grab my jersey. And on the way there, I went, man, this guy kind of speeds, kind of erratic. Not sure I want this guy, but whatever. I don't want to pay extra for a new driver, right?
Yep.
So crossing this busy intersection, doesn't look off his right side, his passenger side. And as the second he started going, I went, nope, 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 that's too close. It's going to hit, bam, hit the rear passenger side right where I was sitting.
Ooh. Did it do any damage to the car? What's the next move?
Oh, both cars were absolutely totaled.
And were you okay?
Yeah. I somehow got out of it with a bruised shoulder and actually competed in a karate tournament 2 days later.
Well, that's going to kill your insurance settlement.
But
I'd be like, I can't do it, man. Give me money.
Did you make the Mariners game?
I did not. I kind of looked around after that and went, you know, I kind of just want to go home.
Now, do you have to stick around for the cops to show up and give your side of things?
Or do you call another Uber?
I stayed there to talk to the fire department because one of the cars started smoking.
Okay.
And after they cleared me, I just got a complimentary Uber home.
Oh, really?
Oh, you can call and get that.
What does one know? Now, do you have to make that call, or does the Uber driver say, hey, man, go ahead and give this guy a freebie?
So after a little bit, if you're completely stopped, after a little bit, the app or whatever will go, hey, we've noticed you're stopped for a while. You okay?
Okay.
And I said, nope, got into a crash.
All right, well, that'll do it. I can't believe it does not happen more. There's two specific places. Ted, you'll at least agree with me on one of them. If you pick up the express lanes going north from downtown off of 5th, across from the Columbia Tower.
Oh, yep. I've almost died there.
If you were getting on there, there is a yield sign, and they are not effing around. And the Uber drivers, I don't know if it's universal, just all of them, I don't know if they just ignore it, if they do not see it, but I will always say out loud, hey, man, there's a yield up here. Make sure you do it. And even then, it's only about 50%. I've almost collided with cars, probably again, 50% of the time. It's like, honest to God, man, they have the right of way and they're already going at speed.
Right, because so they're across there, Fifth Avenue, so they're right. Already they're coming up to speed. I mean, the last time I was in an Uber and I told them how to take that, literally, I was like, you have the yield sign, you have the yield sign, you have the yield!
Yeah.
Right. Like, well, also
Ted, right here. So when you get on the express lanes.
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, you can't see it because it's sprayed over by graffiti. So it's kind of a little bit hard to see, but it's still there.
It's
still there, but people just
if
zip
I spray
right
paint over
back going, you have a yield sign, you have a yield sign. Like, that's what I'm saying, and it just kept going, and I'm like, yeah, I had to scream at him, and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. It's like
that's what I'm saying.
Like, what, do we just not look at signs when we get on?
And also, if you are headed east on 130th Street, and you plan on getting on the 5 there, it's all messed up right now because of light rail, but you have the yield. If you're headed east, and you get on there, you have a yield.
Oh, yeah.
Not a full stop, man. Just yield. And no one pays attention to that one either. Jesus Christ. Like, how did you pass your driving test? Because it ain't just about driving, right? You got to know what signs mean. And yield is not some absurd sign. We know what it means. Just freaking yield.
What's the last thing that happened before the crash? 206-803-ROCK.
Obviously, I've almost been hit multiple times in these two locations. And that's why I've been passionate about it. Jesus Christ, man.
Getting on that express lane.
Just slow down for a second and look. That's really all you got
to
do.
And the thing is, you got to get out to the point where you can see them.
You got
to
see
them. Because you really can't see them until they're right there. But it's like, if you just keep going, like, you're getting in an accident.
God, I clench my ass every single time. Like, here we go. This is it. This is a big one.
Email the guys at themensroom@mensroomlive.com and get you some Men's Room IPA beer brats. They're available now at Uli's Famous Sausage.
Okay, as you know, we've been here at KISW for 20 years. And this year we have been celebrating our 20th anniversary, hitting the road on the Men's Room World Tour. And we knew one thing was going to be true. At the end of the year, we were going to throw down and have a huge party.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we formally announce the Men's Room 20th anniversary party going down Saturday, September 6th, where Black Raven Brewery up in Woodinville.
Yeah.
Get ready to rock. We're going to celebrate 20 years. Of course, the Men's Room IP and the bright yellow can will be there and on draft. We'll have the 20th anniversary lager. Live music. featuring KISW's new originals, The Stoned Evergreen Travelers.
Nice.
And The Outshine Trio, which is a tribute to Soundgarden.
I think maybe we have shared a stage with Outshined, but I don't believe that we've ever shared a stage with our traveling buddies.
We did at a Red Festival at the brewery years ago.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, because I was like, they're awesome.
Yeah, last time they played for us was at Mike's Chili Parlor in Ballard. We had a little party out there in the back, and those guys just absolutely rocked. So, by the way, with the purchase of your ticket, you're going to get a commemorative glass, a koozie, and a 16-ounce drink to kick things off right.
Nice.
So you can party with us. Tickets are available at KISW.com. They are cheap. Keep in mind, you're going to get the glass, the koozie, and the free beer with that.
Yeah.
You must be 21 years of age to consume alcohol, obviously.
But all ages.
It's going to be an all-ages show, and we're going to have a whole lot more as we get closer to the event that we can announce. But the date has been set, Saturday, September the 6th. Tickets are available now, KISW.com. It's going to be a five-hour party. So we're going to start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, have bands all day long, drink some beers, have a good time, man. And the whole thing's over at 6, so we're trying to give you a big enough window. Regardless of what you've got on that Saturday,
yeah,
hopefully you can stop by and at least get a beer or two with us. And
yeah, 5 hours, man. You can pop in, pop out, or, of course, you can stay the whole 5 hours.
It's a great
out.
Spot, too.
Yeah.
It's a really cool spot.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic day. So
and
hopefully you can make it.
Neither Huskies or Cougs have an excuse. Your games don't start till 7:30 and 8 that night.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, come to the party.
You already looked?
I did.
I'll just
pre-game, right? Oh, I mean, if I had to guess.
Well, right.
Yeah, this is a perfect pre-game.
Is the UW game, do you know? I know it's a little bit early. Is it here?
In
other words, could you stop by and then go to the game?
It's a home kickoff at 8 p.m.
Ooh.
You could easily start your tailgate,
okay.
Leave our party.
It's not a bad call.
Straight because into the greatest setting in college football.
Proximity-wise, as far as driving, that kind of works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, based on where you are. So
drive all the way around the lake.
Men's Room 20th Anniversary Party, again, Saturday, September the 6th at the Black Raven Brewery. We start at 1. The party ends at 6 o'clock. We've got three bands, cold beer, and we're going to be there throwing down and celebrating 20 years here on The Rock. And we want you to join us. KISW.com for all the info and the tickets. All right, time for a little Your Guess is as good as mine. It's an easy game to play. We get a contestant on the line. You pick from one of two categories and try to get as many right in said category before three strikes, and you're out. So, Steve, who is our contestant ready to play? Your guess is as good as mine.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, Victor.
Hola.
Jason, welcome to the program. Your category is, Jason, we have the best states in the United States to retire in if you have $1 million.
Ooh.
We also have the worst states if you have $1 million. Back to the $1 million question again. So you can pick either one of those two. Also, we have the world's 10 deadliest animals. I'm going to give you one. You need to guess the other nine. So, Jason, where are you going?
So, you said animals was the second choice, right?
That is correct.
All right, so I'm going to tag team this. I got my buddy Rios here. We're headed back from Yakima together. Is that cool?
Oh, yeah, sure. Which category do you want?
All right, so you want to do the deadliest animals or the best or worst states?
Best or worst
states? All right, we'll do the states.
You're going to do the states. Okay, do you want to do the best states to retire in as far as how far $1 million will go? Not that they're the best states in my mind to retire in.
Correct.
You will just, the money
your
will
money
go longer.
Your money will last longer, yeah.
Yes, with your $1 million. So do you want to go the states where $1 million will last the longest or the shortest?
Let's go the longest because I heard a program a few weeks back where you guys talked about the most comfortable states to retire in, and I kind of know some of the answers already.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, these are comfortable based on how far your $1 million will go, not the ideal place to retire.
Right.
Keep that in mind. Like, for an example, Hawaii sounds great. That's the worst state as far as how long $1 million will last. It only lasts 7 years in Hawaii.
I believe that.
I can imagine.
Okay, so basically you want to go to states where...
Where's the last place you want to live? There's probably a good shot.
That's exactly correct. Okay, so what's your first guess?
I'm going to go West Virginia.
West Virginia is number one.
Wow. Hey, number one?
That is where $1 million will last long. How long would $1 million last you in West Virginia?
If it's seven
retirement?
In Hawaii, I'm going to guess 30 years.
24.5 years.
Damn.
24 and a half years on $1 million.
Take me home.
All right, Jason, you're one for one.
Okay. So like I said, I heard the program a few weeks back. I'm going to go Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's number four.
Wow.
22.5 years for $1 million.
Okay, let's see. That was, how about Ohio?
Ohio, not on the list. Ohio falls into the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have to think
Arkansas, Mississippi.
I would say maybe Florida. There's so many retirees down there.
What do you think? Thrill, what do you think? I know you were part of this program last time. I remember
Arkansas.
Hearing you on it.
Look, man, if West Virginia's there, Arkansas's there.
Let's go Arkansas.
And that's number three. $1 million in Arkansas lasts you 22.6 years.
Damn.
Wow.
But you have to live there for 22.6 years.
That is correct.
It seems like the East Coast, or like Midwest East Coast, is kind of where it's at.
I would go swampier. So, again, like Mississippi, Louisiana. That's why I picked Arkansas.
Oh, for sure. Let's go Alabama.
Alabama's number five. All right. 22.1 years. So, Jason, you guys, so far, you're right with number one, West Virginia, number three, Arkansas, number four, Oklahoma, and number five, Alabama. Those are all correct. You have no strikes against you.
How about Missouri?
Missouri, not on the list. Oh, wait, you do have two strikes because you picked Ohio.
Yeah.
Okay. I did.
Sorry about that.
All right, gentlemen.
I would guess Louisiana, maybe. What up? Mississippi, if you didn't already say that.
Maybe South Carolina?
Maybe. You got one strike left, man.
I'm kind of leaning towards Indiana. What do you guys think?
I think it's an asshole, but I don't know if it would be in the top 10. But I mean, go however you want to go. But that's
I would
my
stick
thought.
To poor states, Jason. Just go where the poor people are at. That's where the $1 million is going to last the longest. What's that?
All right, I'm going to look at a map real quick. How about let's go Tennessee?
Not on the list. All right, that's your third strike, Jason. Sorry.
All right, I'm with Thrill. I'll put Mississippi in there.
Mississippi is number two, 23.3 years off of $1 million.
Did we say Louisiana?
No one has yet.
Louisiana.
Number six, 22.1 years on $1 million.
You said there's one.
There are
like, warm weather
there are three Midwestern, technically, states.
Iowa.
Iowa's number eight, Ted. Very good. 21.6.
Boy, you didn't hesitate on that one.
Nope.
Right. I mean,
there's one
something
that's,
interesting
there's
about
one
Iowa.
Close to the West Virginia area. It's a border
Kentucky.
State. Kentucky's number nine, 21.4 years. Both of the last ones are technically in the middle of the United States. They're not always defined as Midwestern states, but I believe that, in my mind, they are.
All right.
One's a flyover. One's got a little bit more to offer.
Nebraska.
Nebraska, not on the list.
Damn.
Did we say Kansas?
Kansas, number 17, 21.6 years. Oh. Last one you're not going to get, so I'm going to give it to you. It's Michigan.
Really?
Michigan, $1 million will last 21 years. Keep in mind, the biggest city in Michigan
Detroit.
Is one of the most affordable big cities
without
in the United
doubt.
States of
yeah.
America. So if you
and
live
they
there,
still get 10 cents a can.
Yes, you do.
Do they now, still do 10 cents a can?
Damn. Yeah.
You guys want to just... Would you tailgate at Michigan games? Hey, there's kids coming by all day. Just take. Can we take your empties?
Do you guys want to just real quick here, the states where $1 million won't last long at all?
Let me guess. New York.
New York is 45.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, it's 48.
Washington.
Washington State is the fourth worst state for
California.
Retirement.
California.
California is the second worst state.
Connecticut?
Connecticut, not on the list, but that's a good guess.
Maryland.
Maryland, not on the list.
Virginia?
Virginia, not on the list.
Huh.
Think of an island state.
Oh, Hawaii.
Hawaii's,
okay.
Hawaii's number one. We've got one other West Coast state.
Oregon?
Oregon's.
Really?
Oregon's expensively weird when it comes to that kind of stuff. Yeah. Oregon, 13 years for $1 million. Here in Washington, gets you 12 years. The remaining states on where $1 million won't last as long, because you guys have already gotten six out of the 10. New Jersey, 12.5 years.
Makes sense.
Colorado, believe it or not, 13.4. Utah's expensive as far as retirement.
I've heard Utah is very expensive.
13.6 years. And New Hampshire, for some reason, that is also in the top 10. $1 million lasts you 13.6 years.
New Hampshire's another one of those states that's just so small. Like, it's beautiful, but
well, everyone there is, not everyone, but generally speaking, everyone there is pretty well loaded.
Yep. Right, you're either a rich person or you've lived on that same lake
right.
for three generations and nobody moves.
Uh-huh. Coming up at 5:08, we will drink and toast with a shot of the day. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Send the Men's Room a mushy love letter at themensroom@mensroomlive.com and scoop up some delicious Men's Room roasted red salsa at your favorite store.
We went up and we raised hornets at the Evergreen State Fairgrounds racetrack, whatever they call that up
Speedway?
There. Yeah, Speedway up in Monroe, right? So the hornets are the four-cylinder cars that typically the youngsters who are getting involved in racing, the teenagers of the world, the young 20s people of the world, it's kind of where they get their start.
Yeah, right? I borrowed a car from a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah, you're talking about four-cylinder engines. They still do fly around the oval. It does take skill, but great place to learn your craft.
For sure.
If that's what you're into. So they said, hey, look, we're going to give you guys a car, and you're going to race however many laps you're going to race.
It's only like three or four, and it's not that full oval. It's a shorter track.
Yes, correct.
Right? But in retrospect, doesn't this sound like a bad idea? You guys hop in race cars and go. Cool. Right.
Yeah. I remember the guy being like basically sign away your life. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I was like, nothing's going to happen. He's like, no. He's no, like, just, no, you just got to no, sign
wrong.
It.
No, you got to remember, there's the way they do this is it's a race car. So there's only two windows on it, the windshield and the back window.
Yeah.
There's no windows on the side. So we're actually able to, even though we're wearing helmets, we can talk to each other through the windows because it's open air, essentially. So even when we're on the, starting line, we can kind of talk crap to each other.
Oh, sure.
Which is pretty fun. Now, I cannot remember.
There's, what do you call it? Not standard, but like stick shifts.
Yeah.
So, like, I've driven a stick shift twice in my life. The guy's like, just get it in second and just don't
and you're good.
Downshift.
Keep it. Right. Keep it. Right.
All right.
So, the way they set up the pole is that Ted has got the inside on the pole position. Steve has the outside mm-hmm. on the pole position. I am behind Ted in the second row on the inside.
No. You were in front of me.
Was I in front of you at the beginning? Cause so somehow you passed me then.
I got
I've seen Ted on go-karts. He passed you.
I just remember Ben was beside me when I saw the carnage.
All right.
And you two were in front. So
correct, because the point you're getting to is that I put that thing in second and we're cruising around. Now, first, Thrill's going to be my first victim. Right?
Yes.
Like, I'm like, I don't know.
And the bloodiest.
I don't know a ton about racing. I'm going to cut him off. And I'm like, I'm going to take this inside route. So I do. Now, the last thing I remember is passing him. And then you hear this just, like, from the crowd.
Well, you clipped his back left corner of the vehicle.
What did you think the crowd was cheering about or making that sound?
My move.
Uh-huh.
All right.
You so felt so good about it.
Now you're junior, right?
I'm like,
you're
flying. I am that good.
The you're
crowd,
natural.
The crowd is, they are awing at my driving skills.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In your Chevy Citation, which I believe it was. It was like a 92 Chevy Citation.
Right. So when I pull up, you and Ben now are at the start stop line.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I have no idea. I have not looked back. I passed Thrill. The crowd loved it. And I pull up.
They loved it.
Miles goes, I think you just killed Thrill.
Yeah. Because here's what I see. All right. So, as I watch Ted pull it on the inside, right, I see Steve just. And keep in mind, one other side note to this is that later on that evening,
all right, so maybe I was afraid.
They have what they call the rollover competition.
They suck.
Where they put one ramp up for one wheel and you hit it. And you try to roll your car as many times as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say the record was like four or five rolls.
I want to say that night it was either 2.5 or 3.5.
Whatever the record was, it was ridiculous. I mean, as far as like, wow, you're rolling that car a lot. And I look over, and Steve's car has already rolled three times when I see it. Doom, 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 doom. It was like it was in a blender.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like you flushed the toilet with a car in it. It was just rolling, rolling, rolling. Boom. Now it hits the tire wall.
Uh-huh.
All right? Tires go flying. Then the next thing I see is glass flying. The car is now upside down.
Yep.
I don't know if the car is on fire or if the car is smoking. At this point in time now, I am on the backstretch of the track. I am able to look out my left-hand window and see the crowd. The crowd is all standing up, Mike. And most of the people are like this.
With their hands over their mouth, with both hands over their mouth, standing up, worried to death.
What you're saying is I know how to put on a show.
Yes. Yeah. So I Ben's on my side because now the caution flag's out. And I go, Ben, Steve's dead. I said, hey. And then the next thing we see when we get through the start line is this dude frantically with a yellow flag. He's waving this yellow flag. Next thing I know, he reaches into his pocket. Now red's coming out with a yellow.
Yeah,
and
stop.
He's crossing everything. Like, you know, not only is this caution, this is over. This is
and
over.
And, Mike, I'm telling you, my adrenaline dump is huge. The crowd loves it.
The crowd
I'm the man.
Loves it. They love it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they actually loved it. I think they were terrified of what the outcome was.
I was.
Correct. From my point of view and my head, I'm the man. Crowd loves it.
I did not hear the crowd at all. I do remember, I feel Ted's car hit mine, all right? And as my memory goes, and it is weird how much time slows down, because according to everyone who witnessed it from the outside, like, this is a pretty quick and violent thing.
Oh, it
and
was.
To me,
it was both those.
What's the song?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way it feels in there, because the car gets clipped. Then there's a moment where you go, like, I have lost control of this vehicle.
What is that called? Like March of the Butterflies?
Something like that. But honestly, you could have played that for the amount of time that my mind is processing what's going on. All right. So I remember Ted clipping me. The next thing I remember was just seeing the tire wall. And I'm like, you are going to hit this. And I was correct. Then I know the car went up in the air, but I remember it turned upside down. Now, in my mind, it only turned upside down once. So I half turned. Apparently, that is very untrue, but I remember when the car went upside down, my thought was, you've got to effing be kidding me. Either I'm going to die, or this is going to hurt really bad, because of my thought, you're going to land on your head, right? But these thoughts are going through your head, and it's strange, because you're not panicked. You're in this moment where kind of, it just is what it is, and your deep, or at least my deep concern was, please don't hurt like a bitch. Like, I know I'm upside down. I remember a sound, which is probably the car landing. And I do remember just watching the windshield just blow the F out of this thing like somebody threw a grenade in the car. And I was kind of amazed at that. Like, holy S. Then all the sound stops.
And now the car's upside down.
But you're in that safety harness, which again, to my dying day, I would say do not race a car if you do not have that safety harness. It makes a difference. But I'm just kind of hanging upside down.
I think her dad had just installed it.
He had just installed it. He did. He pointed out.
He did a lot.
And I'm hanging upside down. And I remember I screamed a big, whoa, because I'm alive. I realize I am not injured. Yeah, the car is upside down, but whatever. That is material stuff. I'm still here. But I look down, and all the broken glass, well, half of it anyway, seems like it's directly under me in the car. Fire department shows up. I just see all these feet running. It is weird. When you're upside down, your view is from the knees down, right? So I just see all these feet running toward me. I realize it's the local fire department or whoever it is I have EMTs. On site. And this guy drops down, and he's super panicked. Like, are you all right? I'm like, dude, I'm fine. And keep in mind, my adrenaline's going, like, you survived whatever the hell this was. It's all good. So I'm like, man, I'm fine. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, bro, nothing hurts. I know I'm full of adrenaline. Maybe it hurts later, but I'm telling you, I'm not damaged, right? And he goes, okay, now listen, very slowly, I need you to unbuckle. And I was like, yeah, man, I don't want to do that. He's like, sir, we have to get you out of the car. I'm like, no, I know that. But, like, can you flip it over while I'm still in it? He's like, no. I said, look, there's all this broken glass directly below me. So, like, I'm not hurt, but it's a drop. And the drop's maybe 6 inches a foot, but it doesn't matter. My full body weight is going to crash into broken glass. In the end, you have to unbuckle. And sure enough, it's the smallest drop. And it says, Jesus Christ. And they kind of yank you out of there. And the guy says, are you sure you're okay? I say, yeah. Now, keep in mind, I have not seen the crowd yet, so I don't realize that everyone's really freaked out. And he says, just do me a favor and wave at the crowd so they know you're all right.
You put your fist up.
Well, my perspective of where I was entirely different. Like, I thought I landed a certain way, but I was facing a different direction, so I raised my hand up. There's literally no one in front of me. I do a 180. I'm like, oh, there they are. Like, hey. And then, Ted, there was another cool crowd cheer, and I know that was for me.
Right. Yeah. It turns out they both were for you.
And that, yes. In that case.
Need to learn more about general men's room shenanigans? Just visit the men's room page at KISW.com. This is the Best of the Men's Room podcast.
Smiles and Thrill, the men's room, 99.9 KISW. Ozzy Osbourne in studio. Prince of Darkness arrives in Seattle on a bus.
Yeah, I mean, it's just good fun, you know, because, I mean, I don't drink or get messed up anymore. So when I fly, I've got all this time to kill, you know. I can lie on my bed in the bus.
Right.
And just watch TV for that 90,000 hours.
Well, you're giving yourself a little bit of time in between shows on this tour. Oh, yeah, we did notice that. So you have a little time to rest.
I mean, doing like three or four on the run. It's not good.
You've been out for what seems like 10 years now on the road. You know, Ozfest, continually going strong.
Ozfest has been going, I think, I might be wrong, 13 or 14 years.
Which is insane.
I keep saying to my wife, I'm like, darling, how long do you think it's going to go on for? And she looks at me like a pathetic little puppy dog and goes, darling, we'll know.
Yeah. But I guess it's got to be nice to be out with the new album. And now the focus is kind of like, I know you went through the thing with the Osbournes and everything else, but now it's kind of back to the music, and the music is successful.
It's like that, I never really took that thing out of the Osbournes on, you know. I mean, I just did what they asked me to do and accept the cameras. At first, it was a bit of fun, you know, but then after it became mega, it became like any other job, you know. I mean, They would wait for me. Every day, I'd get up and I'll make me a coffee, I'll make a protein drink. And they were waiting. They're there every day with the camera, waiting for you to drop something or scold
right,
me.
Right, or do something stupid, and then they put that
and
on.
And so, I mean, the whole thing I think about the Osbournes is the fact that it was edited brilliantly. I've never watched more than two episodes, because I just don't like to see myself on TV.
Are you selling that house or all the contents
it's
of
gone.
The house? It is gone. Now, is
the
that
contents,
what...
Of a few houses that I've bought over the years.
Now, I know
you have
this.
An auction coming up, right?
Yeah. Now, most of your stuff, you guys are auctioning off, and it's all for Sharon's colon cancer program.
No, it's all for that. Some of it goes to
some
the
of it goes to that, and some Cedars Sinai Medical Center as well. I'm looking at the list of stuff. Did you approve half this stuff getting sold
no.
out? Okay, you did not. I did. The only thing that I noticed that looks like, I can see you're not going to ride four-wheelers anymore, and I think we know why.
The red ones, the one I had the accident on.
And how many broken bones, collarbone?
Okay, come here.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, what the hell is that?
I think it's the hinge off the door.
Ew, man.
That's nuts. It's like your collarbone isn't connected anymore.
No, it's all messed up. I mean, I did a good job. 3 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, you know, you did a lot
of
damage.
I fell off buildings. I've fallen downstairs. I've done everything. But I've always said, when I go, it'll be like, how's the other one that I died today? A bird crapped on his head.
It was payback.
It's a dove.
That's right. A dove ends it.
Now, there was one thing I got to say. Sharon goes to me. Well, a few years ago, she had a pool table hand-carved and that for me. I hope you're not selling my pool table. She says, well, you don't play it anymore. I says, no, because you keep putting it in storage because you want more furniture in the house. I'm on the road a lot, but I'd like to keep my pool table for later on. She said, well, okay. I'll pick up the catalogue. Second page, pool table.
No, I see it. It's right here. It's a beautiful pool table. I can't believe it. Here it is right here, Steve. Look at that.
That is a sweet pool table, man.
I said to Sharon, I said, why did you do that without telling me? She goes, well, I'm having a good day. Jack's just got on me for me selling some of his stuff. I said, Sharon, how would you like it if me and Jack sold your 80 pairs of your 2,000 pairs of shoes?
Sure. Well, this is the one. This was the only thing that's disturbing to me is you have a den at your home in California. It's kind of like your man room, I guess. You've got a bunch of collectibles and stuff like that. But it really looks like your wife is getting rid of your man room.
That's exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, it looks like she's.
I mean, she's cleaning out the house,
like,
man.
This is like all the stuff that you've collected, I guess, like antique guns and stuff like that. And I think that's all gone. Just to let you know, hopefully you won't get pissed off about that.
I think she's selling half your house.
The mouth's starting to fight.
I know, he's about to get pissed now.
Can we call her?
wait, which house is that?
That's the house in Malibu.
Oh, yeah, Malibu, yeah, that's right. I never used to go down there. So
well, how many homes do you have? Jesus God.
About seven, I think.
Okay, jeez. Now, do you really have a home in Switzerland that's a suicide flat? Or not a suicide flat, but a what was the name of it? It's like a if you were to ever get sick, that you guys have a place in Switzerland or something like that, or was that? I read it earlier. It's just it's kind of like oh come on, Ozzy, I don't know. I was googling your name.
That's awesome. He looks it up. I was just like, what the hell?
I don't know.
Somewhere in Switzerland. Why not? I've got a place everywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's see here. The last quote that we have read before you started going out on tour was Sharon talking about your sex life. Were you aware that she was discussing this in the public?
No, because I do. What sex life?
Well, do you remember the exact quote on it? It was something, the analogy of...
Apparently, you won't leave her alone. Basically, your wife said that you, my friend, are like the horniest son of a bitch in the world, and that, like, you won't stop poking her, prodding her, and, you know, getting it on.
I wouldn't mind, but I'm on Zoloft, which makes your sex drive die. I go for a piss and bury my... It's great. I say to my fairies, I go, this is ridiculous. I'm married for 25 years. I can't get it on anymore. He goes, well, I'm afraid. I said, you may be a single guy, but I ain't. Have you got like when I'm on the old antidepressants, but couldn't you put a little bit of an excitement pill in there with it? You know?
Well, yeah.
Because I don't drink. I don't smoke cigarettes.
What about like Viagra, man? I mean,
yeah. Viagra, I like a tent pole, and then nothing happens. It's like, there's no happy ending, you know. That like eye twitcher.
That's the
and a big headache to go with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But do you think you're on more drugs now that they prescribed them to you, or you were more drugs when you were doing your thing?
I was taking about 40 something pills every 4 hours.
Like the medical pills.
Yeah, but this is the only country I've ever been to. Well, you're watching a TV show and you go, try Vicodin. Well, you know, I advertise, like, I was depressed until this man came on. Yeah. Advertise drugs on the television, you know.
No free healthcare, man. That's how that works. Sell you everything. If you got any restless leg syndrome, you name it, we got a drug for it.
I've had that for years. I keep running off stage.
Now, you're going to be on this tour up until, I guess, what, Ozfest 2008?
I don't know.
I mean, do you find out last what's going on in your life?
That's Seattle now. I ain't got nothing to do. Tony goes, we got to go to a radio station. I said, on the way, I did two radio stations. I mean, but, you know, it's good fun. Better than... It could be. I mean, at least I've still remained sober. I don't know how I did it all in years with the amount of dope and booze.
Well, this is the first album you've written not stoned. Right?
I didn't write it all on my own. I had to come to a decision whether I was, if I couldn't do it sober, whether I would drink, whether to drink or just throw the towel in. And I didn't want it anymore. You know, I thought, so be it. If that's the case, then so I spoke to somebody who was on the recovery program, and I says, you know what? You're surrounded by four or five other guys. Ask for help. And Kevin Shirker was great, the producer guy.
There's a couple of political songs on there about the political state of the world.
Yeah, you listen to all the old Black Sabbath, War Pigs. There was a lot of... I mean, it's not just a modern, a latest thing I've done. I've been singing lyrics about, I think for a long time.
Ironically enough, you had, Dinner with the President back in 2002. Yeah. You were invited to the White House.
Met the Queen.
That's right. And
so she said to me, ew! So this is what we call variety, is it?
The Queen said,
that's
ew!
That's the Queen? Yeah. That's got to be nice. You know what I mean? Yeah, your whole life, you know this person. She's, you know.
You know what's weird about it? When you actually see the Queen, in England, you see on money, on stamps, on postal orders. Every day she's in the paper. But stand there in her presence, she's like, it's like weird, you know, because it's like you're so used to seeing her.
Sure.
But then it's like a picture walking around the room, you know.
I guess so.
I can't really say what it's like because I can't I don't know what to say.
Is that do you ever think that people look at you the same way? I mean, people grew up with the man. We have people talking today because they grew up on Sabbath. And everyone mm-hmm. follows a solo career. And you're a guy whose face was everywhere when you were going crazy. We saw that all the time. It did the Osbournes all over the place. And now, if you walk down the street, man, people go crazy because you're Ozzy Osbourne.
But I'm glad that Sharon always says to me, you know, if the day they stop asking for autographs and photographs, it's the time you got to worry. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, to be honest with you, the reason why I still do it is because I have a great time most of the time playing shows and seeing that audience. It's kind of like now I see like our whole families come, you know.
How weird is that?
It's, I don't know, I mean, it's kind of like I started and I never used to, I couldn't see but further than the fourth row.
Sure.
So, and all the kids at the front, it's kind of like, the fans haven't gotten any older, but I have.
Right.
I've always said that if they stopped wanting to see me, I wouldn't go drop down to a club and a bar and do gigs like that. I just call it a day, you know.
As far as our question today, we're talking about the first concert. Do you remember the first show that you ever saw in England? Did you go
the
to pubs?
The first show I saw?
Yeah, just as a child. Something that was kind of inspiring to you as far as...
I saw Jimi Hendrix perform at a place called Woburn Abbey in 1966 or 7. And when he got... I've said this to a lot of people. If nobody had heard of Jimi Hendrix, if it was to get discovered today, he would still blow the place to bits.
Really?
I mean, the guy had this magic aura with him. It was like, mind you, I just took a load of acid, so...
so everything got...
well, so did Jimmy, I'm sure.
Yeah,
We had this, like, transcendental connection.
Was that it? Was that the only time you actually had a run-in with him or saw him?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he didn't run for too much longer.
Right. Yeah, that's... Is there, you said you were kind of awestruck by the Queen. Has there been anybody like that, Hendrix or Queen, or somebody who you just sat there and it was just strange to be around them or to be in their presence?
Well, it's my thing that most people that I like throughout my life, we all go, oh, what about this like that, but he's like that, and she's like that, and whatever, you know. And so I like to, you've got a choice, either just, when you meet them, just... say something to them, and they say, you know, something like, get lost. And then,
right.
And you think, well, I spent 20 to 50 years ago thinking this guy was, I like to give people their space. I mean, I met Paul McCartney a bunch of times now, and he's such a nice guy.
Really?
Really nice guy.
How about the Beckhams when they moved to L.A.? Did they call you up for David Beckham and Paul?
I went to their house in England for the English World Cup or European Cup thing.
Oh, right.
And I only played one game and lost.
That was the last game.
But he's a nice guy. He kept sending me football boots before I'd met him, and I said to him,
I'm not Rod Stewart.
No, he goes, I said to him, why do you keep sending me football boots? He goes, well, I didn't know what else to send you. Okay. So if you ever need a pair, give me a call.
Ozzy, word on the street is, we don't know if this is true or not, but last year on Ozfest, someone told us, we know who it was, Ted, that Zakk Wylde... never changed his kilt, and I guess the entire tour.
Or showered.
That's for one tour.
Is that true?
I did a show with him when I went at the Sabbath reunion, and he had Black Label Society in Milton Keynes in England. I never saw him for a whole year. And I run into him, and he goes, you know what? I haven't showered since Milton Keynes.
Could you smell him though?
Oh, I mean, if you open the window here, you could smell him in town somewhere. I go, why don't you shower? He goes, chicks like it. I said, but you're married. Oh yeah. Well, it was that bad. When you made a telephone call to him, you could smell him.
Yeah.
As I say, we had him in, and you could smell him then.
Oh,
when
he gets well and truly crutch ripe.
Oh.
What is it with the man? Does he just always kind of smell I mean,
Zach, you know, Zach's just great, you know, I mean. He's cheap to have on there too, because he doesn't cost you nothing to keep him clean, you know.
He probably just takes one duffel bag and he's off.
He gets all these roadies to piss on him when he wants to shower.
I mean, it's his roots. He's from Jersey.
Yeah, there you go. I just,
I mean, when I used to go out there and get messed up all the time, what would make me feel a little bit human the next day was a shower.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I mean, I'd go, oh, and I'll feel dead, shower, and it would like spark me up for a few minutes, you know.
What are you surprised that, you know, you've been playing with Zach for over 20 years now, I want to say. Mm. I mean, that's a long time to play with anybody, man. Most bands don't make that long solo career.
Well, it's like, it's kind of like, he goes his way, I go my way. Then the fans write and say, why are you doing this? And so, I mean, he's like, I was going to say a son, because if he was my son, I'd throw him in the trough. But he's a good guy, man, underneath all this. So He's a really good guy, and he's a great guitar player.
Yeah.
I mean, he can play. He's playing. He's been so good.
Out on the road now with Rob Zombie, and in preparation of Ozfest 2008. Rumor is that there could be a Sabbath reunion. Is that still something that's just out there?
Yeah, well, I always get asked the same question, but the truth of the matter is we have tried to do an album, you know, along the way, but I'm kind of gun-shy with it, because when we all broke up and went our own, they fired me and that, and Bill left and whatever, and we've come back together and played them old songs, after all this time, if we don't do an album way superior, or as, you know, as where we left off, or at the same level, anything lower than that, it's going to be a big, you know.
Right.
I'd rather, it's like when you see a sequel to The Godfather. You know,
and you're like, what the hell?
The last one sucks.
Oh, Godfather 3 is awful.
Godfather 2 is good.
Yeah. 2 is good. 3 sucks, man.
Oh, yeah. And same as Jaws. Have you ever heard of the show?
Sure. What are they doing in the Caribbean?
I mean,
in 3D.
I've got to tell you something. If I knew there was a great white out there waiting for me to get my ass in the water, I'd move and live on a mountain.
Right.
What do you think?
It's Switzerland.
Yeah.
It's a plane, doesn't it? That's what it's stupid.
What do you think about the Zeppelin reunion? Will they?
I think it's great, but they were very a monumental band, you know. I mean, John Bonham was one of the finest drummers I ever met. He was a great drummer. I mean, but Jason is his son. He's very, very good. You know, but I think that's the closest you're going to get to Zeppelin, having Jason Bonham play them, because his father taught him how to play.
And as you said, 200 million people or something like that trying to get those tickets.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, I don't know, I mean, if they all get on and click it together. I don't know, I've met them all over the years, and I don't know, I just...
Do you think they'll have the same sound? As like you just said, like Jaws 4, Jaws 5. Can they come out and sound like Led Zeppelin after not playing for that long? And we know that Page of Plan.
Well, I know that's the whole problem with Sabbath. You know, it's like we've all changed bodily, physically, and mentally. You know, we're not the crazy bunch of guys. I was with Jimmy Page a short while ago, and he's clean, sober, and everything. You know.
Well, that's how you wrote this album, and to me,
I mean, I didn't write it on my own. I just kind of worked it out with the band, and Zach came up with all the riffs.
But I tell you what, as far as the sound of the album, it's one of the best Aussie sounds. Yeah, man. I mean, it just rips.
I mean, I keep hearing people going, "Ah, Pro Tool is no good for." Well, you better explain to the people out there what Pro Tool is.
It's an electronic editing device where you go in and you can loop stuff and everything else.
And the guitar should be done on analog. I just, you know, I mean, but how you can make a Pro Tool sound like analog.
Right,
right.
And so I just said, screw that. I mean, I did it in a room not much bigger than this.
So did the band play together? Was everything
recorded?
Oh, yeah. So you, I mean.
I've got a drum room. Most guitar work is done in the control room now.
Yeah, I would have,
the amp stacks in another room.
I would have to think vocally it's much easier to do your stuff when the band is there.
I mean, in the old days, when they used to go, oh, we got to do an edit. And that was like the rest of the day after you get stuck in the bar. And it's weird when I go, we just got to do this edit, click, click, and it's done. And you go,
sure.
It's like 2 seconds. You go, I mean, it's a bit of a bummer, actually.
any surprises for the show Thursday night? This tour is you and Rob Zombie. Have you got anything different planned?
It's some of the stuff you've heard on the Ozfest, but some of the songs that I haven't played. Like I believe I'm doing Fire in the Sky off No Rest for the Wicked, but I don't want to tell you too
much. Right, exactly, sure.
You gotta go there.
But I mean, I can't come off the Ozfest and do exactly the same show.
Sure. How hard is it for you to get up there and your songs just rip through one after another? How tiring is that to get up there and do a full set?
I try and work out, but the saying that there's nothing like a gig. It's not you can run the marathon, but you go and do a gig. The next morning you wake up, you think you left your.
I mean, do you ever look at Zach and say, "I need about a 10-minute guitar solo"?
I have done that in the bus.
You know, I just need to go use the bathroom real quick. Could you play a little bit longer?
You know, my wife eventually got me to go for singing lessons because although I was singing okay sometimes, my voice would go out all the time. And this guy told me some techniques to save my voice. Like, for instance, don't go through every track song one after the other. Let your voice cool down. Take your time. When you're ready, go back on, you know.
Is it interesting to be at that point in your career where it's all awards? I know you got a star. What? You got the VH1 Rock Honors, I guess. You played that, saw that with, I believe it was Heart, Allison Chains in Las Vegas, the VH1 Rock Honors. You guys came out and closed the show. You and Zach Wild. Did you not get a star too in your hometown?
In Birmingham, and I got one. The one in Birmingham.
Do you see like old relatives and people you knew?
Oh, yeah, can I have that £5? You bought it off me, but you know, I mean, it's like everybody goes, "Oh, I know you," and I go, "Yeah, well, from where?
Kindergarten."
I go, "I've never seen you before," you know.
Okay,
but that one in Birmingham, the only thing, I wish my mum and dad had been alive to see.
Yeah, I bet they would have been proud of that. Yeah. And it's kind of cool to go, just to know you've come so far from home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
End
I
up
mean,
going
I mean,
back home, you know what I mean?
I said to Sharon just the other day, I said, because I'm about doing a film of my life, a movie. And I said to Sharon, well, are they still going to do it? She said, when you do your autobiography. But I don't want to do my autobiography yet, because I'm not done, you know.
Sure, yeah. Well, I tell you what, how hard is it to go back and remember that stuff?
Sorry?
How hard is it to go back and remember
it? I mean, people go up to me now, hey, when you're too remotely crude, did you really snort a line of answer? It's very possible. Well, October the 8th, 1979, I remember that.
Well, if you're with Motley Crue, you probably snorted something, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that was a while, too.
I bet it was. They were pretty crazy. Ozzy, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure.
Absolutely.
I had a lot of fun.
Ozzy and Rob Zombie, Thursday night, Key Arena, by the way. Ozzy, just so you know, because of your tickets with Rob Zombie, we collected 38,000 pounds of food for the hungry in the Pacific Northwest.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, and you helped. So, thank you. We appreciate it.
Reach out.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Men's Room on the socials at Men's Room Live and enjoy the new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing.
Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
Aaron, are you sober or not sober?
Sober.
All right, Aaron, welcome to Big Dummy. Okay, our Men's Room poll, we're dealing with sounds. You will never have to hear the sound again of speakerphone people, megaphone preachers, leaf blowers, or backup beeping.
I love my wife, but I'm going to have to go with speakerphone people.
Is she a speakerphone person?
Yes, particularly her and her mother.
Why? Now, if this is in your home, I understand you can step outside. Does she do this in public?
From time to time, but it's just more of an annoyance to me.
Well, one time is more than enough time.
Do you ever ask her, like, why don't you just hold the phone up to your head?
Like it was designed.
Kids.
Marrakesh, by the way, is in Morocco.
Oh, Marrakesh is in Morocco. It's just not the capital. I'll be son of a bitch.
We are idiots.
No, I've been to a place called Marrakesh Blah that was Indian cuisine. I wonder what the connection is. I don't know. So where's Morocco?
Well, where is it?
Yeah, where's Morocco? Is it Northern Africa?
It's Northern Africa, right?
Okay, so I got that one right.
You got that right.
All right.
Marrakesh just happens to be in Morocco.
Right off the coast of Spain, actually.
Yeah, of course.
I heard there's a lot of stray cats there.
Is that the island where the stray cat? No, he's not wrong, man.
There's a handful of places, like even Greece, like you can find a whole lot of stray cats and stuff out there, too.
What is going on with these island nations?
You got a lot of kitties.
Okay.
I'm down, dude. My wife wants to go. We're going to take one home.
Oh, God. This is a Grecian.
Well, it's on the coast. It's not an island, Morocco.
Oh, I thought it was its own little island. All right. I know nothing about Morocco. That's what we're coming up with. Oh, there it is. All right. Yeah, northwestern Africa. Yeah. All right.
That general location.
Next week on Big W, we have an Africa quiz.
Yeah.
We clearly need to brush up a little bit.
All right. Here's your question. What was the first video game played in space?
Atari.
Well, it was probably played on an Atari, but what was the game?
Yeah.
Pac-Man.
Was it Tetris?
It was Tetris.
Oh, Tetris. Okay.
Doesn't that make sense? Where are the astronauts?
Yeah.
I want a challenge. Did you know every astronaut talks to them?
They do.
Yeah, they had to change. Houston, we have landed.
That's part of the interview process. Yeah. Where'd you go to school? University of Iowa.
Houston, we have a problem.
I've always been fascinated in space.
Well, you're hired. You are hired.
Hey, we got to knock the astronauts down a peg, Ted, all right?
I've been in orbit for a year.
I went to Harvard.
They don't talk like that until they've gone to space, though.
I pooped in a floating bag. Have you?
I love Tang.
They got to make a noise before they speak. I went to space. All right. Every word begins with the letters NY. Yeah, I went up.
Technically, that dog could still be alive.
Yeah, no, spinning around the earth.
Look, I'm slowly going to Dr. Evil.
You ever been strapped into a wall when you sleep?
We could hear the dog barking. Yeah.
Nobody can hear you screaming, babe.
Damn.
Yeah. Interstellar was fake.
This is Houston. Please let us know you're there.
Yeah. Aaron, are you still there?
Hello.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Star Wars was
bull. Right along with you.
All right, here's your question. What year saw the release of the first Hot Wheels car?
Oh, 1951.
I'll say 1962.
1968.
Shoot. All right, Aaron, question number three.
All right, Aaron, how many feet equal one fathom?
That's how Katy Perry talks now.
It's like 22 feet.
Come on, Mike.
It is 6 feet.
6 feet. That is correct. Wow. I am 1 fathom and 4 inches tall. Yeah. All right. You're right, Katy Perry gets back. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah, and did you see my flower?
Mm-hmm. I kissed a girl.
You're gonna hear me roar. Making space.
That's your question. What is the blood-sucking creature from Puerto Rican and Mexican lore?
Oh, hell yeah. Is it a restaurant you guys like to eat at?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Is that the chupacabra?
Yes. There you go. Nice job.
Why is it always El Chupacabra?
What's that? The.
Well, I know the, but what if it were female?
The.
Oh.
That'd be La Chupacabra. I'm just saying they just make the assumption that it's a dude.
Early dudes.
And when you say bloodsucker, ladies, I apologize for this. I typically feel like that's usually to describe a woman more than a guy.
Dracula? Well,
there's him. But after that, like, oh, she was a bloodsucker.
The L and the law are not necessarily that the subject is male or female. More, it is masculine or feminine.
If it's definitively feminine, you go law. Otherwise, you go L.
Correct. So it's not their sex. It's about the word itself. So it's El Chupacabra, okay. Just because that's just the way the word is. It's a more masculine.
Okay, but the
word.
Way I learned Spanish, and to be fair, I don't know Spanish, but the little bit I remembered, typically if it begins with L, then the next word will end with O. If you have the
two right? degree, yeah,
because typically the masculine goes O versus the female goes A.
A, correct.
So it's El Chupacabra. In my mind, it should be El Chupacabra.
It should be La Chupacabra.
That's all I'm saying.
La Chupacabra.
La Chupacabra, La Chupacabra.
Gave us Big Dummy, 206-803 Rock.
I think we nailed the Spanish language.
Oh, my God, I'm set.
We crushed.
Hello, Tom. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Tom, are you on team sober or team not sober?
I'm sober.
All right, Tom, welcome to Big Dummy. Okay, our men's room poll, you never have to hear one again. Speakerphone people, megaphone preachers, leaf blowers, or backup beeping.
Speakerphone people.
All right. Pretty popular answer today.
Chupacabra, by the way, somebody said they saw one in Amarillo, Texas in 2022.
Well, it's definitely huge. So it's predominantly Puerto Rico, Mexico, and then the American Southwest.
Yeah.
So I don't know how Puerto Rico fits into that. You're like, Mexico to the American Southwest. You're like, right. You're all kind of tied together. It's like, what, swim over to Puerto Rico, suck some blood, and swim back?
Probably.
Yeah. I'm going to ask him.
It was just in a mood for a good mafungo.
Yes. All right, your question. In the year 2000, which artist tied Michael Jackson's 1984 record of winning 8 Grammys in a single year?
Oh, no, I'd say Celine Dion.
That's not a bad guess.
Year was 2000?
Year was 2000.
Mariah Carey?
No, I guess Garth Brooks. I was wrong.
Backstreet Boys.
It's not an artist like that, man. This dude has been around for a very long time.
All right.
And in 2000, he teamed up with our friend Rob Thomas.
Santana?
Yeah, so really? That supernatural
Nobody would have guessed that.
I know. That's why I basically asked. Like, homeboy cleaned it up. Somehow, like, he showed up, he did his thing, and we're like, all right, see you on the flip side.
Damn.
8 Grammys. All right. Your question, whose mother complained about her son swearing in the movie Goodfellas?
Probably Joe Pesci's mother.
Nice job, Tom.
Now, I find this odd because in my mind, I'm like, have you met your son?
Wasn't he a legit tough guy?
Pesci?
Yeah.
I don't think
physically
so.
That's possible.
I'm pretty sure, though, I think that
a couple of the guys.
It's a legit one of their moms. It might be his mom.
Legitimately, yeah. His mom.
It was his mom.
Yeah.
Email the guys at the men's room at mensroomlive.com and get you some men's room IPA beer brats. They're available now at Uli's Famous Sausage.
We made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Big time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve a Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed, and today we toast, that's right, you guessed it, Ozzy Osbourne. Died earlier today at the age of 76. Keep in mind, today is July 22nd. His last performance only 17 days ago, and it wasn't his last performance because he died today. That was scheduled to be his final performance ever, and if any of you were lucky enough to be there, good for you. Ryan Castle was there, and the one thing that he keeps lamenting all day is, I am so glad that I was there. It's one thing to know you're going to see a final performance. It's another thing when it becomes this final. And he's like, man, it's the best decision. Basically, his wife gave him the go-ahead. It's the nicest thing she's probably done for him since they've been together. And he just played that show on July 5th at Villa Park in Birmingham, England. But what am I going to tell you about Ozzy Osbourne that you already don't know, right? We live in an age of kind of dime a dozen celebrities, nothing against them, but one of the last true originals is lost. And I'll stand by that. I will die on that hill. Like, look, man, you ain't going to find a whole lot of people like Ozzy. Like I said, you can find a controversial figure, but typically that's because of something they've said, something that you overheard that they said, something that you caught on video. Ozzy was controversial because people just didn't know how to deal with him. And he never changed anything about himself to appease anyone.
And oddly enough, that's why he had a massive appeal at the end. Right? That was the whole thing. I am who I am, and I ain't a bad guy. I just freak you out because I do things like bite the heads off of bats and do a lot of drugs, you know? But in the end, you go like, it's a cool dude. 115 million copies of just his solo career record sold. I mean, you do the math, brother. That ain't happening again in our lifetime. So to Ozzy, man, we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bichola.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Aw, man!
A Double Flush production.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.